This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I don't want to die.
I can hire the best doctors. I can hire the best scientists.
Death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it.
Yeah. No, he doesn't want to die.
Is Jeff Bezos trying to live forever?
You'd write your legacy. What would you want your legacy to read?
Can you tell me who's the richest person in the world?
Jeff Bezos.
Do you want to be even richer than him?
Yes, of course.
People, are you ready for the danger? Time for the danger.
We need to do this for the future of our children, the future of our great country, the future of mankind. This is your brother Uthman ibn Farooq, and I've got a very important message. Alhamdulillah, our brother Eddie is setting up the Deen Center, not just the Deen Show, but the Deen Center, a full Dawah Academy, a masjid, a Dawah Center in America, the first of its type, a groundbreaking project. And I want everybody, as I'm supporting it, I want everybody to support it so we can take the Dawah to the next level. We need the Deen Center. Please support it.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. I want to thank you all for hosting us here at this wonderful community in Florida. Brandon, thank you guys. I'm elated to be with everybody. And we're going to get right into it. As you know, we started back in 2006, one of the first and one of the only Islamic TV talk shows. And we've been trying to deliver the purpose of life in a very simple, easy to understand way, without compromising, delivering the message of Tawheed, the pure monotheism. And that's what I want to talk to you about, Sheikh.
Sure.
You know, recently, it was some sad events that happened here in Florida. You know, there was a hurricane heading towards Tampa, wasn't it? And I heard it took a little reverse and it went in another direction. And I was talking to a friend of mine. So alhamdulillah, this community was kept safe. And it's sad that many other places they went under. So I'm talking to a friend of mine from Naples, and he's describing to me how on the beachfront they have homes. I'm not talking about $10,000 homes or $100,000 homes. I'm talking about $10 million homes, $20 million homes, all the way up to $40 million homes. And he said that all of them that were close to this area between him and Fort Myers, gone. So right away I'm thinking like, okay, insurance. He said, no. He said, they don't get the flood insurance because they're right there on the beach. That's what he's telling me. So I started thinking, subhanAllah, when these things happen, you know, many people invest all their money, their time, their effort into the dunya, into the material world. Calamities like this hit. Are these times that Allah sends signs that people reflect? Are these are times that people really get to contemplate and reflect? Purpose, why am I here, why have I been created? What are your thoughts when you hear something like this?
There is a beautiful verse which depicts that in a beautiful way in Surah Yunus. In that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah brings down rain. Then because of the rain, you start having vegetation. And then it grows, and the one who placed the seed and was the caretaker of this particular vegetation would look at it in a very boastful and admiring it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a very interesting way. وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا until they became so confident that we own this, this is ours, that's it, we control this. They forgot who brought the rain down, they forgot why they are here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا Allah's command came and he wiped it off. Exactly also like the people of the garden. There is إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. The three brothers who went to harvest, they had this beautiful garden and they refused to share with the masakin. So they went to harvest this garden in the middle of the night so that the poor and the needy would not wake up in the morning and share with them or come and request their share, the sadaqah from that harvest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sent something, a stone that wiped it away. Again, this becomes like a reminder that you're not in control of anything. You're only here for a test. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He tests you with what you consider to be good, and sometimes He tests you with what you consider to be bad.
The people of Ad, you talked about how they
the
built...
The people of Ad, you know, subhanAllah. I mean, they were almost 50 feet tall, you know.
And they built their homes
in the strongest structures. They used to dig their homes in the mountains. See how strong they are? فَأَمَّا look how in Surah Fussilat, فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. As for Ad, the people of Ad, they were so arrogant on earth, and they said, who's stronger than us? Who's stronger than us? You know, look how Allah, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Don't they reflect and consider there is someone who created them? Shouldn't he be stronger than them? Who made you strong? Allah. Who made you wealthy? Allah. So He must be stronger than you, and He must be wealthier than you. Again, how did Allah destroy them? With the wind.
With the wind.
You know, so that, فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا. We sent a wind, a storm like this. You know, sometimes we belittle the wind. That's wind. You know, it's nothing. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the wind out of context, out of the norm, and to the extent that it destroys things that we, you know, are precious to us. Yeah.
There's another individual who runs one of the most successful companies. His name is Jeff Bezos. You heard of him?
Want, like, these are people who see themselves as gods, who want to be world historical figures. They're literally
do that. Who do you think is doing that?
Well, like Jeff Bezos, for instance.
You think he thinks himself as a god?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You don't?
Jeff Bezos runs Amazon?
Yeah, yeah.
So now, you know, because these things, really, when you have all this type of money, and now, as one who has submitted to the will of the Creator, not the creation, a Muslim, you're always being reminded, you know.
I'm laughing because this guy gathered all
That's what I was going to ask you next, yeah. So the thing is that, obviously, as Muslims, we're trying to prepare. We're trying to have that wealth in our hands, not in our heart.
No.
And to remind ourselves that always being conscious of the afterlife and trying to plant those seeds of goodness so then we could be prepared to go ahead and have what's waiting for us in the next life. But now, when someone like Jeff Bezos, he starts to think like, hold on, all this money, right? Now I can hire the best doctors, I can hire the best scientists. Let's talk about that, because that was something that was recent you came upon, that he tried to put a committee together to see how his life can be, what, extended?
Or, yeah. No, he doesn't want to die.
Is Jeff Bezos trying to live forever?
You'd write your legacy. What would you want your legacy to read?
World's oldest man. It's, but I would love it. Let's work on that. I keep telling my biotech friends, hurry. What the hell, guys? Come on.
Yeah. So he gathered those, I don't know if you guys read this or not, but it was out there, public record, that he gathered some doctors, scientists, people in the field of biology, you know, okay, I don't want to die.
Death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And that is as it should be, because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new.
Find a way that I want to live so I can enjoy this money. Subhanallah, you can't do that. Subhanallah, you can't, regardless of how much, you know, he's... But subhanallah, look at us. That's the beauty of believing in the hereafter. You always think of the hereafter, that you're going to go out there to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're going to find something better, actually, better than what you had here. Even if you had what his name is Basil?
Jeff Basil.
Basil, yeah. Even if you have as much as his. Subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the dunya for the believers to be jail. الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ jail. وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ يعني whatever you will have in the hereafter, even if you have as much as Basil, you know, the hereafter is way better.
Yes, Dad. Can you tell me who is the richest person in the world?
Jeff Bezos.
Do you want to be even richer than him?
Yes, of course.
Listen to me carefully. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the two sunnah rak'ahs of Fajr is better than the whole world and everything in it. Now go pray.
Okay. You know there is a hadith, ya ikhwa, fi sahih Imam al-Bukhari that the least person or scholars wouldn't recommend me saying that the poorest person in Jannah, the poorest, the last one who will enter Jannah, the last one, supposed to be the poorest, he's going to have 10 times this world.
Subhanallah.
The entire world. 10 times the entire world. You know, can you imagine? And this is the last one who will come, the last Muslim who will come out of hell and will be placed in Jannah. 10 times this world.
Wow, subhanallah.
Imagine that.
You were also sharing with me earlier an authentic hadith from the last of the Messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, talking about and differentiate the four, the one who has money, doesn't have a mind, has, you know, can you break that down for us because it was something really powerful to really have us reflect even more?
You're referring to hadith Abi Kabsh al-Annari radiyallahu anhu. Hadith is authentic. Subhanallah, this hadith is so beautiful that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually asked us to memorize it. Very few things the Prophet would say and he would tell you, memorize this one. He said what? وَإِنِّي مُحَدِّثُكُمْ حَدِيثًا فَحْفَظُوا. I'm gonna narrate to you a hadith, I want you to memorize it. Look at this. إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لِأَرْبَعَةِ نَفَرٍ. There are four types of people in this world. You're one of them, by the way. You belong to one of them. Number one, the first. رَجُلٍ أَوْ رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا وَمَالًا. The first is someone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given knowledge to. He has knowledge. Knowledge of the religion. Knowledge of the akhirah. Knowledge of why he's here. Knowledge of why he's being tested. The wisdom behind his test. And Allah giving him money to wealth. Both. He has wealth and knowledge. Knowledge and wealth. Because of his knowledge, he's very careful in how he earns the money and how he spends it. Very careful. You see, ikhwa, on the Day of Judgment, there will be two questions when it comes to money. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the feet of the son of Adam will not move out of the land of gathering unless he is asked about, there is one word in five, one word in four. One of them is about his wealth. How did he earn it? And how did he spend it? Both. For this man, because of his knowledge, he earns the money from halal. He doesn't earn it from haram. Also, he utilizes the money. يَتَّقِي فِيهِ رَبَّهِ وَيَعْرِفُ لِلَّهِ فِيهِ حَقَّهِ وَيَصِلُ بِهِ رَحِمَهِ. He spends in the cause of Allah from this wealth. Also, he uses that wealth to uphold his kinship ties that he shares with his closest kins. You know, he's not stingy in a way. And this is the best you can be. This is the top of the line, that Allah would give you money and knowledge. Look, the second one, someone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving knowledge but no money. But subhanAllah, because of that beautiful knowledge, he's not envious of the first one. You know, he understands that wealth is qadr. Allah chose him over me, alhamdulillah, this is qadr. But he wishes to be like him. He says, if I would have his money, I would do like him. I would spend like him. I would build this masjid. I would build this school. I would help the needy. I would help the poor. He's always what? Working on his intention. Wanting to be like the first one. Without what? Without wishing for him to lose it. Yeah, there is a destructive envy and there is constructive envy. In Arabic, the word envy is not mentioned. It's called ghibta. Constructive envy, that you wish to be like the other person without wishing or wanting Allah to take away what they have. That's ghibta, that you want to be like the person. So this is the second best. Look at this. The second one, because of his intention, he equals the first one. So he didn't do any work. Look at the beauty of knowledge, ikhwan. When you have knowledge. He didn't do anything. He was not tested with the money. He did not worry about how did he earn it, how did he spend. He just had a good intention. Because of that intention, he will receive the same reward like the first one. The Prophet said, what? فَهُوَ بِنِيَّتِهِ فَهُمَا فِي الْأَجْرِ سَوَى. Because of his intention, he receives an equal status, equal reward like the first one. So those are what? Two. So what was the first one? Knowledge and wealth. The second one? Knowledge without wealth. Look at the third one. And the third one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him wealth, no knowledge. آتاه الله مالا ولم يؤته علما. No knowledge. He doesn't have any knowledge. See the significance of knowledge, ya ikhwa? Wallahi, ikhwa, the Prophet used the term unbelievable. The Arabi brothers would understand. I looked for an English, Sheikh Saad. I looked for an English. I said, there is nothing really. So Sheikh, what the فَهُوَ يَخْبِطُ فِي مَالِ. يَخْبِطُ فِي مَالِ. You know what يَخْبِطُ فِي مَالِ? Have you ever seen someone who's drunk and he's walking around and he's hitting everybody? Have you ever seen that scene? That's يَخْبِط. You know, that's how he handles his money.
He's not the best, but
he doesn't care whether he earns it from haram, usury. He goes and gets usury money. He earns the haram money and then he spends it. Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini, hafizahullah, told us the story that a very wealthy Arab, okay, we're not going to identify his national here, so we don't get in trouble. Went to London, very wealthy. You know the people were the oilies, yeah? So he's in a circle waiting, there is a light out there, and he was driving this, there's a car called Rolls Royce, something like that, very, and he had a bag of money with him, you know? Imagine this. So somehow, Shaitan came and said, I want to see the Brits running after my money. So you know what he did? He of course, his car has that sunroof, so he stood up and he opened the bag of money and he threw it. Look at the Brits, they are taking away. Look how dummy this is. And the Brits, they run the way, Sterlini wala Tgaddini. They run, they go and they would be. That's time. Imagine someone who goes and he buys Michelangelo picture, $500,000. For what are you going to do with it? This is not even your thing, you know. Or someone who has a boat, that's yachbot. For what? You know, or people who go and buy these, you know, for what? This is what? Messing around with the money. And on the day of judgment, subhanAllah, you're going to be asked, where did you spend that money? This is the worst. Look at the last one. The worst of the worst. The Abiyad Dhabi. La flus wa la ilm. Allah did not give him money nor knowledge. Nothing. But because he lacked the knowledge, so he wishes to be like who? The first? The second? The third. You want to be like the third. I wish I have this money. Man, this guy. This is, and those were mentioned, the ikhwa, these four times were mentioned in the story of Qarun. فخرج على قومه في زينته قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم. For those are the four, inshallah. I hope you're planning to be number what? One or at least two. But please stay away from three and four because this is disastrous.
Last question, Sheikh. I want to go ahead and connect it with what we started off with. Give an example how just in a fraction of a second, everything can go ahead and just be wiped out, all of the dunya things. But will your investment in the deen, in a masjid, in the dawah, does that get wiped out after it leaves you?
Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said this. يقول ابن آدم مالي مالي مالي. The son of Adam always says, I want the money, I want the money, I want the money. What do you, then Allah says what? What do you want the money for, O son of Adam? What do you need the money for, literally? You need to eat and get hungry again and eat. Or you need to wear and it gets old and then you wear it again. That's what you need the money for. But look at this. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتَ فَأَبْقَيْتَ. But your true wealth is what will stay for you on the Day of Judgment. That you spend in this world and Allah will give it to you on the Day of Judgment. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said something very interesting to Aisha. I didn't know the hadith, but the context is there. When he was given a sheep, and his wife Aisha radiallahu anha knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would like to eat the shoulder. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, I want you to slaughter it and please share it with our neighbors. He didn't ask her to keep anything. So when he returned, he wanted to verify whether she did this or not. What happened to the sheep, ya Aisha? You know what she said? All of it is gone or have gone. I shared it as per your instruction, except the shoulder. You know what the Prophet said? Oh, Aisha, all of it stayed except the shoulder. So subhanAllah, when you spin, and ikhwa, you know, I'm sorry to say that we live in a country. I mean, I'm not, this is a disclaimer, you have to pay your social security, you know. That they take a whole bunch of your, you know, a whole chunk of money from your paycheck, right? What's it called? La, social security. Isn't that, don't they stop doing that or what? You see, I don't make any money, so that's why I don't see that. Social security, right? Social security. When are you supposed to get that social security? Huh? When? What age? 65 now, and very soon it's going to be 70, right? You know what the Prophet said? The lifespan of my ummah between 60 and 70. The majority of us are going to live until 60 and hardly till 70. So when are you going to get this money? Huh? And we believe the system and we take the money. Yes, I wonder. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the sadaqah from you. And by the way, these guys, they invest that money where? Our guys here, they invest the money where? In haram. Huh? So they invest your social security in what? In usury, in bank stuff, in mortgage, in all that stuff is in haram stuff. And when they need it, they break into it. Okay, let's take some money from, because we're in debt here, you know. But look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the sadaqah from you. Then what Sheikh Sa'd? ثُمَّ يُرْبِيهَا كَمَا يُرَبِّي أَحَدُكُمْ فَلُوَّ. Subhanallah. Then Allah will grow it for you. Allah will invest it for you. Exactly like you raise a baby horse.
الفلو اللي هو البيبي هورس like you see it grow. So Allah will grow it for you. Will grow it. Will invest it for you.
Better than stocks and crypto.
Halal investment. Better than
stocks and crypto.
No, of course, crypto. No, nothing of that. Halal. And Allah is not gonna break into it because He needs it. Allah doesn't need. It's gonna be there. Allah is gonna give it to you. And that's the, you know, just compare this with that. I'm sure. Subhanallah. And again, we still reluctant to spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, you know, the hadith of the four that I just quoted right now, you know how it started? How it started? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? ثَلَاثَةٌ أُقْسِمُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Three things I'm willing to take oath on. First of all, why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to take oath on this? Why? The disbelievers themselves, how did they describe him? How did they label him? What did they say to him? You are what? You know when he stood in that mountain and he said to them, if I tell you that there is an army behind this mountain who's about to attack you, will you believe me? What did they say to him? What did they say? We will believe you. Why? Why? مَا عَهِدْنَا عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا. We never experienced you lying. You always tell the truth. Why would we accuse you of lying now? Huh? Rasulullah here is talking to Muslims, telling them, Wallahi, Wallahi. Look at number one. مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مُّنْ صَدَقٍ. Your wealth will never decrease because of a sadaqah that you give for the sake of Allah. See, your money will not decrease. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you, will give it back to you. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. Whatever you spend in the cause of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مُنْ صَدَقَةٌ. Imagine that. Your wealth will never decrease because of a sadaqah that you give.
So you've been here with us quite a few times. What are your impressions on the property now that we're looking to take the Dean Show into the Dean Center?
I have known Eddie's for years, I think, maybe close to 20 years. And, you know, Eddie in Chicago, he used to have this, studio, this nice, humble studio, nothing extravagant. But he would bring us, you know, to this studio and he would talk about the ideals, you know. And I always told him that there is a difference between talking about it and actually executing it. So he decided to actually move to the next level and try to establish something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with a nice piece of property. Some of you may have seen it, whether physically or virtually, where he wanted to have this da'wah center. You know, and subhanAllah, this, I think the it's on route 60, right? 66 or 60, something
60.
Like that? 60. 60. Highway 60. Beautiful. Imagine having a sign there, the Dean Center. And the place is welcoming. You know, the place is welcome. So that's what Eddie. Imagine if someone gets guided in that center, brothers and sisters in Islam. The Prophet said this to Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. He said what? لَإِن يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. If Allah guides through you, one soul is better than the entire world. One soul. Now you become a means to that. You help with that, brothers. There will be also a masjid there, a full-time masjid, 5 daily prayers, inshallah. And there is a need for a masjid in this area. I have not seen one. So there is a need for a masjid in this area. Also, we're planning to have a full-time school to educate the next generation of Muslims, and on and on and on, and studio also to produce materials for our children. So this is a good investment for a sadaqah jariyah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place it in your heart that you can help. We're working hard day after day to get stuff done. We have actually our architect who came all the way from
Georgia, Brother Abdul Qadir, he's right there. For the last 4 days, by the way, he's been working and, you know, doing the master plan. And then we're going to do the design with Brother Amir Ahmed here from Maryland. Mashallah, they came to, because we're going to talk about the design. How are we going to make that beautiful design, da'wah center with a masjid and when the school. And so we're going to come up with a master plan for the whole thing, and we're going to phase it out in a way that it can be affordable, inshallah. But we need your help tonight just to move a little bit, because we want to make sure that this place is ready to go by Ramadan. Isn't that what you have in mind?
That's the inshallah. That's
inshallah.
The plan.
Yeah. So you know, that's what we have. You know, this is a beautiful project. I have been involved personally in many of them, but this is something that is so special. Wallahi, so special.
If one person accepts Islam because of you, because of your effort, it's worth more than the whole dunya. This is your brother Abdurrahman Khawalda from Dallas, Texas. I'm here in support of the Deen Center. It's a beautiful organization, mashallah, doing da'wah in the U.S. And they have purchased a piece of land and several buildings on it. And we are counting on our brother and sister throughout the U.S., throughout the world, to be part of this magnificent project. It doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter how much you donate. What matters, we all participate, inshallah. May Allah bless you. Thank you so much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.